this entire area that we've been talking about tonight is not just restricted to the United States, is it?
No, but it's not. There's a worldwide fear epidemic going on. And by the way, I haven't explained to people yet tonight why I call it an epidemic. I want to explain that. It's a very important idea because viruses are contagious. I think fear is contagious. If the guy next to you says you're going to get bird flu, even if you don't believe him, you might just start to believe them because, it sounds reasonable, but certain facts are left out, like it's still only in birds or like, that there's a lot of technology around that didn't exist in 1918 and that most people in 1918 died of pneumonia, but we have antibiotics now. I mean, there's a lot of countermeasures that you can use to treat this fear, but instead we mouth the bad stories. I mean, it's like Hitchcock again. It's contagious and it goes from one person to the next. And that's, that's really what we have to combat first, is that it's an infection. Fear is actually an infection.
I mean, I love this picture here. You've got people scurrying all over the place, coming what looks like out of the Capitol building. I don't know if they're panicking or not, but they don't look happy.
It's one of the anthrax scares. That's one of the...
Oh, was it? Okay.
There were several of them. I mean, it just became, routine where you would just get scared. And I mean, George, I agree with you. I think we've reached a point now where we're tired of it, where we want. You know what? I got a hot one for you. We are safer than at any time in human history, this society right now. We live longer than at any time, and we have healthier, safer lives. But we're panicked.
Oh, absolutely. And I love this cover because you've got some people who are just running like crazy, and then you've got other people who are just kind of like walking, no big deal. And I think that's what society's become now, too, where most people are panicking, and then a few people simply look through the entire situation and say, it's not what it really is. It's almost like through the looking glass. It's like Alice in Wonderland all over again.
Well, this is susceptibility factor. Some people are more susceptible than others, but fear affects normal people. This isn't, like anxiety disorder. It's something that everybody can be prone to, but some people have an immunity to it. And those are the people that are feeling courage and caring and laughter. The fear center of the brain processes positive emotions and negative emotions in that same center. So if you're busy laughing and you're busy caring and you're busy feeling courage, you're not going to be afraid.
Let me point something out to you. We'll put it in perspective, then I want to get your reaction to it. Let's assume the CDC figures are correct, that 36,000 people die every year from the annual flu, okay? 36,000 people. What do you think, Mark, would happen? How do you think the media would handle this story if 100 people, not 36,000, but 100 people in the United States died of the avian flu?
Oh, I think that entire cities will be cordoned off. What do you think is going to happen if a single bird here dies of the avian flu? We're going to lose our entire poultry industry. I mean, fear has a tremendous cost. That's actually the reason that I've gotten a lot of interest in economic circles. I've been writing pieces for the finance magazines and going on shows because they understand, the financial people understand that before a single person gets hurt here, there's going to be a tremendous loss of income. The poultry industry is going to be in terrible trouble from the fear of bird flu. Not even a human being, just a bird gets this here.
Kentucky Fried Chicken has commercials ready to go in the event anything like that happens. Now, I don't know if that's going to help, because once it starts, it's going to mushroom. But, their whole business could be hurt if something like this happens.
It's really, really problematic, and that's why I'm not an advocate for fried chicken, although I just heard that a little place about a mile from where I have my summer house out on Long Island has the best fried chicken, so I'm going to definitely get some.
Also don't have to eat the skin.
But that's the best part. No, it's healthier not to. But they're going to be in big trouble. I'm that in London, after that parrot got bird flu, the chicken consumption was down by a third in like a week.
Now, Ken, even if you ate a chicken that may have died from the avian flu, let's say.
And that's worst case scenario.
If you cooked it properly, wouldn't that be okay?
Absolutely. The problem in Asia, and the reason an occasional person is getting it, is because they're not cooking the birds, or they have some ritual where they drink the blood, or they get, too close to the bird and it sneezes on them, or they're a bird handler, or they go to a cockfight. So There's no question about it. Influenza is one of the easiest killed viruses of all.
And it's all image and perspective. Truth be known, if people knew what these chickens ate, what they did, and the conditions that they were living in, we'd never eat them.
I mean, you know, what I like to say is we're afraid of beef because of mad cow disease, so we eat chickens. Now we're going to be afraid of chickens because of bird flu, so we eat fish. But then we're afraid of fish because of mercury, so we eat vegetables. But then we find out vegetables are genetically engineered, so we don't eat them. We're through.